mentioned in a few minutes on Birchas Hamazon. Parshas, this week is Parshas Ekev. We are fortunate to come across the mitzvah Yachalta Vitzavatu Veirachnas Hashem Lekecha Eretz Yisrael Asher Nosan Lach. The mitzvah derives of Birchas Hamazon. So I have over here, I found at home, I don't even remember when I bought this, it must be many years ago, I found this little teeny kuntras called Birchas Hamazon in Beilor Memaran Hagoin Rabbi Chaim Kinievsky Shlita. Okay, so this is obviously someone asked him a lot of questions and he gave the answer and someone put together this little kuntras. I noticed I never went through any of it. It's not marked up. Ah! Fresh material, something fresh. So I spent a few minutes. Unfortunately, I wanted to spend a lot of time on this, but I got distracted. So I just only was able to run through this very, very quickly. So let me share with you a few ideas that I have caught my attention in just browsing through this little kuntras relating to the Perush Hamilos of Birchos Hamazon in the thought of the Gadol Hadar, Rabbi Chaim Kinievsky Shlita. First idea he mentions. We have four brachas. We all know that. We have four brachas, Birchas Hamazon. And the first bracha is written B'loshon Noichach. B'loshon Nister. Nister means, what do we call it? You call it the second person or third person? First person is myself.
Yeah.
Second is you. Yeah. And third person is you, but I speak about he. Okay. So the second bracha is, the first bracha is written in third person. He. In Chazal's terminology, third person is Nistar. Nistar means hidden. Hidden means I'm not myself, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about
somebody.
He.
Someone.
Nistar. Second person in Chazal's terminology is Nochach. Nochach. I'm speaking directly to you. The second brach is Noda Lecha. I thank you, Hashem Elokeinu. Al Shein Chalta, you have bequeathed Lava Seinu v'chulu v'chulu. The third bracha, Rachem Hashem Elokeinu, may you Hashem Al Yisrael Amecha v'al Yisrael your nation v'al Yushalayim Irecha v'al Tzion Mishkan Kivoydecha. Again, it's Nochach, second person. The first bracha is third person.
Hazon,
the one, not you, Hashem Yad, the one who is Zon, Es Ha'olam Kuloi Bituvo, who does it, Bechein, Beches, Berachmin, who? Not you, not Ato.
It follows the original Ato in the Brahma.
That's the Pesicha.
And it's descriptive of who you are.
Okay, the opening is Baruch HaTah. That indeed is correct, that it's Nochach. But then it shifts. After you conclude the term Baruch HaTah Hashem Kinei Melech HaOlam, and we go and we elaborate, and we have the unique Lashoinis of Baruch the expressions of the first Baruch are all Nistar, in third person. It says, who knows? It doesn't say Atah Nosein Lechem L'chol Basar. What?
That point.
Okay. Yeah.
We switch in the middle, and everything concludes in.
But not at the very beginning.
Okay, you're right. I acknowledge the very beginning. It says Ata. But the other two brachos, Noide Lecha and V'al HaKol, which is Daraisa. Let's assume it's Daraisa. Those are Nochach. Now the bracha of Atoy V'Ameitiv, he explains. He says it's very standard. He says this is both. It's a mixture of both. Baruch Atah Hashem Kinei Melech HaOlam HaKel. Avinu Malkeinu Adireinu Bareinu Golenu Yosheinu Kloshenu Kloshkov Vareinu Veyishol HaMelech HaToiv HaMeit VaKol. Who hated? It's both. It's also a mix. It's also really it's who. It's also back. It's also back to third person. He doesn't really explain it. He explains a little bit. I didn't really say what he said. But let's for the moment put aside the third bracha. Because the third bracha is in a different category. The fourth bracha was established at a much later point in time in Jewish history, and it was established to commemorate the miracle of Behurgei Beitar. It's Midr Rabbanon. So let's at least for the moment just focus on the first three brachas, which are the Raisa. Why is it the first bracha is Loshon Noichach, and I'm sorry, Loshon Nistar, and the next is Loshon Noichach? And the answer is because the first bracha was established by Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in response to the giving of the man. And the rule is, The rule is, derech eretz is that when you're directly in front of a person, when you're, you see, it's just the opposite of the bracha, how it appears. When you're directly in contact with a person of greatness, you don't speak to him in second person. When you stand before the king, you don't say, "What do you want? What does his majesty, his honor, his majesty, what would the Rosh Hashiva like me to do?" Okay? When you talk to the Rosh Hashiva, they trained us, you don't talk to the Rosh Hashiva, he trained the world, not just his influence had an effect on, it had an effect on many, many people. Rav Hudner was the one that took a stand. To his credit, as I'm talking out of greatness, he took a stand that the cover the Talmidei Chachamim were receiving in America was not up to snuff. And he demanded that the Talmidim, he trained a generation of Talmidim, when you talk to Rosh Hashiva, you don't talk to him directly. You say to the Rosh Hashiva, "What would the Rosh Hashiva like?" And that had enormous influence on many other yeshivas. The fact that influence spread to other institutions where they began to treat their rebbeim with much more respect and speak to them in third person. The most famous story being of Aaron Lichtenstein, who married the daughter of Yosef Ber Soloveitchik, and he originally started out in Chaim Berlin, and he was a Talmud of Rav Hutner, and he left Chaim Berlin to learn by the Rav, and the first day of Shir, he came to Shir, And everyone was sitting around the shir, and Rav Yeshiva walks in, everyone's slouching around, and Aaron Lichtenstein, together with one of his chaverim, who also defected from Chaim Berlin, they stood up, and they gave Rav Yeshiva the kavod he deserved, because he was trained by Rav Hutner. When Rav Hutner walked in, he stood up, and all the boys, they looked at Rav Aaron Lichtenstein like, "You're out of your mind? What are you doing? What's the game over here? You're standing up? You're crazy." They thought he was crazy, and he did this day after day until it was contagious. The day came that when Rav Yosher Ber walked in, everyone stood up. Kavod HaTorah. Okay, came in shorts, all right. Okay, so whatever. No, he didn't. He didn't put them on again. Yeah.
That's borrowed from Hasidic world, right?
It is? Why? What Hasidic world? The Gemara, he quotes the Gemara. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, he quotes the Gemara, he quotes Shulchan Aruch. Ayin Yeredeya Simi, we should learn this. The laws of Kavod Talmidei, I skipped those halachas. We skipped those halachas, we're learning the Aruch, maybe we'll come back to it. No, Kavod Talmidei Chachamim, or in Yeredeya, there's a whole simin of how to give Kavod to Talmidei Chachamim. It's a Shulchan Aruch.
But it's
similar to Kibbutz Avayim. Yeah, you do say you to a tata. Adria, a father, I think you're allowed to.
No.
You're not allowed to say you to a father?
It's a difference between Yiddish and English.
What does Abba want?
I don't know. I don't know the answer. Ayin, Yeredeya, Simen, Reish, Membei, Sif, Tezayin. Okay, running out of time. Let's go. Ayin, Yeredeya, Simen, Reish, Salacha. Salacha. So therefore, he says there's a perish hamilais. We should appreciate. The reason why the first bracha, this is Rav Chaim Kanievsky explains, we should appreciate. The reason why the first bracha is written B'loshen Nistar is because this bracha was instituted when the Shekhinah was resting upon Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, they were in the Midbar, they were the Anani HaKavod, the Amud HaEsh, Hashem gave supernatural food. The Shekhinah was palatable. It was right in front of you. Hashem was right there. The male, if Hashem is right in front of you, when you speak to Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's Derech Eretz, you don't speak in second person. You speak to the Ribbono Shel Olam in third person. The male of Moshe Rabbeinu, who wrote the first bracha as a HaKaras HaToy for the man, he wrote it B'Loshay Nistar. The second and third bracha were instituted when they came into Eretz Yisrael. Haneg Bohem Minog Derech Eretz. No longer was the Shekhinah right in front of your eyes, it was more distant, it was more of a hester upon him. So the rule is that when you are addressing the Ribbono Shel Olam mitach tfila in a matzav of where the Shekhinah is not in front of your eyes, it's and the Shekhinah is in front, dal lefnei mi'ata oimed, avad, the Shekhinah is there. But when it's not on the madrega of the Amud Ha'onan, Anani Hakavod, you speak to Hashem directly. That's the koyach of tefillah. So, Mamela, being that the brachas of the second and third bracha were instituted when they came into Eretz Yisrael, al-Eretz Chem Netov Rechava, and of Nei Yushalayim David and Shlomo, and that's a moment in time when we're not living on the Madrega of the Midbar of the Shechina is the Amud Ha'esh, Amud Ha'anon, Mamela, we revert back to the typical Nusach of Tefillah when we speak to Kodesh Baruch Hu directly. Yeah.
Remind me of what Rav Miller, that's how he used to say, that Shmonesra, we have the Eibush as a very high Madrega, a Melech, but he allows himself to be lowered so we could speak directly to him.
That's the Galus.
Atoch.
But that's only Mitoich Hester. But when the Ribbono Shel Olam is right in front of you in an intense form, like in the Midbar, where there was the Amud Ha'anan, Amud Ho Esh.
That's
then you're talking Nister.
Nister.
But when Hashem is not Mamish in front of you, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows you to speak with him, then you speak Noichach. Yeah. We need the Noichach in order to connect. Being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nistar, Hashem is Roya Ve'ein Nireh. Being that he's not Nireh, the technique in order to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam is to speak Noichach. But when the Ribbono Shel Olam is nearer, then you speak with Derech Eretz, you speak Nistar. As it says in Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya. So this is where Rabbi Chaim explains there's a fundamental difference in the grammar of the first bracha versus bracha number 2, 3, and 4 also. It's 2 and 4 also. It's all 2 and 3. 2 and 2, bracha 2 and 3, which is, let's just leave it with that. That's why there was a difference. This is his understanding of why we have it in this form. Okay, next yediyah. Next yediyah, it's the brachas hazones olam kuloi bituvo. First thing we say in the first bracha, Hashem, he sustains the world in his goodness. Toiv. Then we go on. Chayin, chesed, uverachamim, hu no sein lechem l'chol ba'asar, ki li olam chasto, uvituvo hagodol. Why suddenly do we repeat the theme of toiv, and do we emphasize not just toiv, but uvituvoi hagodol tamid loy chosar lanu? So Chaim is right. Why, when we say hazon es olam kula, it's bituvoi, but when it comes to the expression tamid loy chosar lanu, it's tuvoi hagodol. You think it should be just the opposite? When someone gives you a bonus. Someone gives you a bonus, you thank him very, very much. You thank him. But when he pays you on time, you don't thank him. It comes to me. I'm working for you, and you give me my check when the month ends, or every 2 weeks, or whatever your arrangement is. That's right. I work very hard, and the money comes to me. Baruch Hashem, you paid me on time. You didn't pay me late. I have to thank you for not paying me late. Okay? I have to thank my boss. I want to thank you that you paid me on time and you didn't pay me late. I'd have to come beg you tomorrow for the check because I have to go pay my bills. No, that's the way the world is supposed to go on. If you give me a bonus, I'm only supposed to get $100 and you gave me $1,000, I have a duty to come and express my thanks. Thank you very much. You've given me more than I deserve. So you would expect when it starts here, Hashem is hazon es ha'olam kuloi bituvo. Hashem is getting bonuses. Hashem sustains the world. Okay, you'll tell me that Hashem has a duty to sustain the world? Maybe you're right. But in any event, it's in the positive. The Ribbono Shel Olam is zon. He's giving the world. He's giving. Oh, we have an obligation to thank Hashem. Don't you expect we should lavishly respond, thank you very, very much for what you've done? Then when we come to the next part, tamid lechosar lanu. He doesn't take away from us our basic needs. We're not lacking. There's water, there's air, there's food. The connotation is that just don't take away from us what we're entitled to. And yet here, we use the more lavish expression, uvituvoi hagodol. So what do we see from this? Rav Chaim says, das balabayis hebech midas Torah. Or, by the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's a much bigger chesed that he doesn't take away. is that the things that we take for granted, that are continuous, that we have, and we're just hoping, just don't stop it. Just stay the course. That demands of us a greater hakaras hatoiv to the Ribbono Shel Olam than when Hashem gives us a bonus. When you wake up one day and guess what, you got a bonus? Hazanas Olam. Wow, look what you've given me. You've given me something I didn't expect. You say Hashem, thank you very much. But to appreciate the things that you take for granted, that in the Nusach of Chazal requires of us even more appreciation. It's a very deep idea, because this is not the Minhag HaOlam. The Minhag HaOlam is what you take for granted, you never say thank you for. And things that you don't expect is what you say thank you for. It's just the opposite. The bonus is you say thank you, but the things that you take for granted, you have to go out of your way with even a greater degree of appreciation. And this idea should be impressed upon us every time we read the Berachas HaMazon. Hazon es ha'olam. Wow. Bituvoy. But when it comes to Bituvoy ha'gadol, tamid lechosar lanu. He doesn't take away from us the basic necessities. V'al yechsar lanu mozoin li'olam bo'ed. Just the mozoin over here, just mozoin. We're not talking about the whole world. We're not talking about the big picture. Just the basics. That demands from us a greater degree of appreciation. You know, I read the Benching my whole life. I never picked up on this. No, this is a simple thing, but it's so profound. This simple little idea. Okay, let's go to another idea. A few more minutes. Let me find something more geschmack. Let's do something that Noy Dilcha. Okay, Noydi Lucha, we have a curious expression of Chemda. Eretz Chemda Toiva Urechava. Why is Yerushalayim called Noydi Lucha Hashem Lachin Al Shulchan Chal? It's an Eretz, a land that's Chemda Toiva Urechava. The word Chemda does not appear anywhere in Chumash. The word Chemda, in describing the milus of Eretz Yisrael, only appears in Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Not in the brachas. Eretz Yisrael appears in the Chumash many, many times. The brachas Hashem gave to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but never do we have the word chemda. Chemda only appears in Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So my high, why is it? Why is that so the case? And why over here, indeed, in the brachas and the Melucha do we include the word chemda? So we have Chaim's is an amazing idea, which forces us to take every time we have the word chemda throughout Tanakh to reanalyze it. You only can say chemda about something that you've actually seen. Something that's only been described to you, that's imaginary, it's virtual, you can't say chemda.
Yeah, but in Bereishis,
yeah,
the Avos were in Eretz Yisrael.
They were in Eretz Yisrael.
They don't express it in that way either.
But when Hashem promised it to Avram, Lech Lecha Mi'aretzecha, I hear what you're saying, but you have to say is that even though Hashem showed it to them, He didn't show it to them in a state, in a matzav, where it was theirs, to the degree where it was settled.
He didn't give them.
It was established. Okay, maybe they walked on the land, but that's not called really seeing the land. In Nevi'im, when the land is called Chemda, and the various psukim, Klal Yisrael already conquered the land. They conquered, they divided, they're living in the land. They're experiencing the land to its fullest extent. Once you experience it, then you can say chemda. But when you're describing to the Avos, I'm going to give you a beautiful land. It's zavas, chola with vash, it's rechava, it's wild, like all the milas.
Okay, then that opens up the next question. If we're galas, we've never experienced it.
No, we have experienced it. We have a legacy. Our parents, grandparents, isn't once the nation, the klal, as a whole, has experienced it, has seen it. We've lived there for 480 years. Okay, v'noshantem. And then we came back for another 420 years. And now we're back again. So once we've already experienced it, and also even if we're not there, we know, we've heard from our parents, grandparents, then you can say chemda. If you have not experienced it, the word chemda, it's a very precise, he does this a lot. Chaim, he does a lot of the Svarim. He's very into words. He's very into fatiching precise meaning of words. And when you know the precise meaning of words, it opens up a whole new dimension to appreciate what you're reading. Chemda can only be said about something which you have experienced, you have seen. until you've seen it, the word is not the correct word. So the avos in the Torah, it never happened yet. The Torah ends before we went to Eretz Yisrael, so the word chemda cannot be used in reference to Eretz Yisrael. In the Nevi'im, that's when they're living in the land, so the word chemda appears. L'mayin afkamin, I'm just extrapolating. Shabbos is called chemdas yamim oisei karasa zecher l'masei bereshis. So why is Shabbos called chemdas yamim? So where do we say? We say the ata. We say that in. Help me remember. When do we say chemdas yamim? Yismach Moshe. Yismach Moshe Malchiyem. So which one esrei?
Yeah.
Be precise now. So we say by heart. Yismach Moshe Rebanat ki even nemen kras lo kalil tevers piroshes al lembel tov harsh nai ushnei luchois avonim horibli vosubam shmiya shavachin gusuk shosach. No, so we don't say it. We don't say it on Shabbos morning, so you say Shabbos Mincha, right?
That's Mincha.
So when do we say it?
Shabbos.
When do we,
Chemdas
Yom. When do we say the word Chemdas Yom in Shabbos?
Shachris.
Shachris?
Yeah.
Let me see. I'm not too smart. I can't remember anything. Off the cuff. Off the cuff. Shachris l'Shabbos v'Rosh Chodesh. Now, what's going on here? Shachris l'Shabbos. Here we go. Where is the Chemdas Yomim? Yismach Moshe Manas.
Before
I
look
at
the chaos,
then
give him a chance.
Oh, here it is. Okay. The loy nisa toil Hashem will heal the goyer hearts. When chalta malkein will give the gam b'nu chaso lo yishorim ki liyishoam chon nisa gavah lezer yakov shem al mikhat she shikulam yisbeu v'yisanu mitivach v'ashira tzisba v'kidashto chemdas yamim oisoy karasa zecher lemasse v'reishes. So what does it mean now? I'm extrapolating. It doesn't say this in the sefer. I'm just saying. Rav Chaim over here says a very yisoy. Chemdach only refers to something which has been experienced. It's not been experienced, you can't say the word chemda. That's why Moshe, that's why chemda appears, dafka, the chemda, we say in Birchas HaMazon, because Birchas HaMazon, when writing is already when they came into Eretz Yisrael, and that's why it appears, even though it does not appear in Chumash. So now when it says Shabbos, also chemdas yam oso karasa, Zecher l'masei v'reishis. So what does that mean? Hashem experienced Shabbos. When did Hashem experience Shabbos? As the pasuk says, ma'aseh v'reishis. When Hashem shovas v'yinofash, it wasn't just a day. It was an experience by the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not something which is theoretical. It's not theoretical. Rav Chaim is saying you can't say about something theoretical chemda. The Torah cannot call Eretz Yisrael, it's the Chemdas Haaretz, because no one over here ever saw it. You can only call it Chemda after you've seen it. Hashem calls Shabbos Chemdas Yomim. So I mean, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not theoretical Shabbos. Shabbos is something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has experienced. When did Hashem experience Shabbos? Poshet, by Sabreshes. Shavas Vayinofash. Hashem also has Shabbos. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He created 7 days, and it's theoretical. There's a seventh day when you rest, and I'm going to watch you rest. We know, if Hashem never rests, Hashem can't call the Chemda. Hashem can only call the Chemda because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself rested. And indeed, Hashem says in the Pasuk, Shavas Vayinofash. Yeah?
There's an issue. I don't know if it has to do with this or not. That they don't say Zech L'mas Precious.
So then, it's interesting. So what does that mean exactly?
I don't know, maybe it's connected.
It's not just Zecher L'maseh, but that's the two Dibras. There are two Dibras. Zohar V'shal, the first Luchos is Maseh Bereshis, and the second Dibras is Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim. So indeed, Hashem did not experience, did Hashem experience Yitzias Mitzrayim? So that's the morale. Hashem went down to Mitzrayim with us. And I also left Mitzrayim. I also experienced Yitzias Mitzrayim. And part of the Yitzias Mitzrayim is Shabbos. Moshe Rabbeinu was Misakin in Yitzias Mitzrayim to observe Shabbos. So this is
I didn't make it up. It's in the Siddur.
Okay. So this is something to think about at least. All right, we'll stop here. Mir Shem tomorrow. We'll do a little more.
Exactly.
Yeah.